bringing you the best League of Ireland analysis, interviews, and build-up every week. 98FM's League of Ireland podcast.
Now, big weekend in the League of Ireland Premier Division. In a moment, we are going to preview second v. Tir, Dundalk v. Bray. But first, Darren, you've been looking ahead to a big game. It's 12th v. 11th. It's Galway v. St. Pat's at Richmond Park this coming Friday at 7:45.
Yes, Jamie, and to borrow football clichés, we complain when we get told these clichés by players. But I have to say, this is one that we're looking at as a real six-pointer. Pats have managed to climb off the foot of the table by getting a point last week. Galway, despite not particularly being terribly poor in the last number of weeks, find themselves doomed to the bottom, and we are going to preview that game in the company of Shane Keegan in a moment, the Galway United manager. But first, we're going to check in with the home team, and we have got Pat Craig on the line. Pat, welcome back to 98FM's League of Ireland podcast.
Thank you, Dan, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to talk to you again. It feels like it's just earlier on today that I was speaking to you, but good to have you back. What have the last couple of weeks been like at St. Pat's?
Well, obviously we got what was not a too bad a result on Saturday. I think coming from two down, we would have taken the point. We obviously need wins at this moment in time, but we would have taken the draw when we were 2-0 down, even though we did play well. Balls first half, I felt we were a better team watching the game. Second half, Balls came out and were the better team. But can't argue that. I felt against Rovers, there wasn't much in the game either. Either team probably could have won the game. I felt we could have got the 3 points, so maybe a draw was fair. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because you mentioned the games you have lost. I mean, in any games I've seen you this season, it's been hard to believe at times you're down where you are because you've been playing okay in patches without maybe getting enough chances or scoring enough goals and maybe conceding a little bit too easy. Is that a fair summation of it? You're not playing poorly. You're just a couple of small moments that have actually become pretty big moments in games.
Yeah, that'd probably be fair regarding them. We have had a few individual mistakes, which is we've been at nil all in games and then we're conceding goals and then we're having to chase games. Like in Galway, the last minute from me is an example of a bad decision making from an individual, and that cost us 3 points on the night. Unfortunately, I let the lads down, but unfortunately these things happen.
Yeah, you put your hands up before that. I know you said you thought you were diving in like Superman. You thought you were going to be able to make kind of a match-saving effort, but it just didn't work out to be. I mean, there's only ever an inch between being a hero and being the villain in that sense.
Yeah, definitely. It was a stupid decision on my behalf. Like, there was a minute to go. I thought he was going to get a shot off, and I lunged in. I probably should have just stood up. And it was just a bad decision at a key moment in the game, you know, in the last minute. And there's been others, moments during the season so far where we have done individual mistakes, and it's cost us, unfortunately. But there's still plenty of football left to be played, and I'm confident that we can go on a run at some stage, and needs to be sooner rather than later though.
We've seen as well in games this season, you've gone a goal or two down and shown fight and spirit to put yourselves back in a position to actually win the game. Down at the Markets Field, a similar enough story, but you show great character, you refuse to be beaten, and Conan pops up with the winner. Is it a case of, you know, you're just putting yourselves, you're making an awful lot of hard work for yourselves with those uncharacteristic errors that are piling the pressure on, because in a lot of games before they come, you're banging positions to get some kind of result there?
Maybe that could be a fair assessment, but like everyone does, like in football, like goals come from mistakes predominantly, you know, whether it's a set piece, someone switching off, getting a header. So that is normally how games are won and lost. One team makes a mistake and gets punished, and unfortunately we're just getting punished for their mistakes. Had them previously. Hopefully, it won't continue. But also you do have to play well in regards to the offensive side as well, which I do feel at times we have played well. But listen, the league doesn't lie and we're down there, so we do have to put a run of games together.
I mean, you see what happens, Bose. I mean, they've put themselves in the last few weeks right out of danger. A couple of wins, I mean, it's easier said than done, but they were where you guys are. They were struggling and they managed to turn things around. Do you look at your Cross City rivals and realise, look, lads, this is how close we are to getting ourselves out of trouble? Does that give you that little bit of hope?
Ah, yeah, 100% it does, yeah. I'm not saying looking at Bose and saying, oh, we have to be as good as them or... Well, whatever the case may be there, whatever they're doing, I just know myself that the league is very tight. You get a couple of wins, you're out of it. So it's just, rather than, unfortunately for us, we've drew, then lost, maybe won, lost a couple and drew. We've had an awful lot of draws, and sometimes you're probably better off winning games, winning the game, losing two, winning a game, and that you can end up in further up the table, actually, by doing it that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Because I remember at times watching the draw with Rovers. If someone was watching their first League of Ireland game, they probably mightn't believe you if you told them that one of the teams in this game is down the bottom of the table, the other team is up trying to fight for Europe. Such was, you know, how close you were as sides on the day. And when you look at maybe where it's gone wrong and you try to pinpoint why you don't have more wins than draws, is the final third a place where St. Pat's have struggled?
No, I wouldn't say that. It's just small margins in regards conceding at the wrong times, maybe not, maybe missing a chance at a key moment. But, like, there's enough experience in there, the manager's experience. I do believe that we'll turn around 100%. If you don't believe that, what's the point in playing? So, yeah, we might be getting a bit of stick at the minute for being down there. But, like, that's part and parcel. You've got to embrace that pressure. And it's just roll your sleeves up and grind out results. And that's what we have to do. It's obviously easy. It's easy for me to say it to you, but we've got to do it as a group collectively. That's really all there is to it. We need wins, and that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, keeping that fight going is something, Pad, you mentioned. It's probably very, very important, because even if you look at the Premiership example of Sunderland, they looked like a team that were kind of like, oh, we're going down. They looked like a broken team from the start. While Pats are very, very different in terms of the attitude coming out of the camp. I'm talking to Liam a few times this season, and he seems like a very calm guy. He doesn't seem like a guy who looks at the league table and freaks out or changes everything week to week in training because things aren't going right or there's one or two results not going well. How important is it to keep that kind of composure when it would be very, very easy to hit the panic button and go mad here and start to fear doom and gloom?
Well, obviously, it would be easy, but the manager, obviously, I don't know him extremely well outside of football, but I can only speak in regards to how we know the man in around football. And he's a very calm man in regards. He doesn't put pressure on players going out on the pitch. So I think, especially if you're a young lad, he'd be very good if you're only starting out playing first team football. He'd let you go and express yourself, and I feel like he's not a man that panics within the situation. He trusts the group to be able to get out of it. We believe we can get out of it. Again, it's easy saying it, we've got to do it, and that's how we feel we will get out of it, by working hard and getting wins.
Yeah, you talk about a little bit about the pressure and kind of trying to mix the good pressure with the bad pressure. Is this Friday's game, is it a must win?
It's a must not get beat in my eyes. You want to win the game, obviously. Galway want to win the game, but it'd be bad for either team if they did get turned over. We'll obviously be going to win the game. I'm sure they'll be targeting it to win as well, but you don't want to be getting beat.
Yeah, that's Pat Craig there speaking to us ahead of their massive game with Galway United. Delighted to be joined now by the Galway United manager, Shane Keegan, to look ahead to this one as well. Shane, Pat was talking about this being a six-pointer for Pats. It's probably the same in your dressing room this week.
Ah, it is, of course it is, yeah. There's no point in dressing it up any other way. I suppose maybe the only difference is, I think, you know, Pat's been home team, they might be looking at it as a game that they can't afford to not win, whereas, you know, we might be looking at it as a game we can't afford to lose. That's the only difference on it. That said, we'll be going up there looking for the 3 points, no doubt about it, but obviously they're going to be in the very same mindset, you know.
When you look at how the season has panned out, I remember speaking to you and listening to you talk with Stephen Kenny at the start of the season, and you said you had to adopt the mindset that this was a relegation scrap. Has that made it easier that you've kind of been in this siege mentality from the start? You knew that you'd be fighting for survival from day one. Has that made it easier to try and go and become hard to beat?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, you know, I think anybody, you know, any of the teams that had finished bottom of the half of the table last season, you know, any of those to think that they weren't going to be, with, as soon as the announcement came out of three going down, for any of them to think that they weren't going to find themselves going through tough times and you know, with their backs against the wall, and that were grossly mistaken. So no, we knew it would be like this. That's not to say that we're not disappointed where we are. You know, we would feel that our performances, we should have a lot more points on the table than we have, but, you know, we just haven't been ruthless enough, we just haven't been clinical enough, and, you know, you are where you are for a reason.
Yeah, and when I look at the, you talk about the performances, maybe the results don't necessarily match up with them. There's been defeats by the odd goal here and there. I mean, you lost to Bray 2-1, one goal in it, draw with Sligo, not the the worst result, I suppose, in the context, and then going up to Derry and at times looking like you could get something out of that game. Is it a case of it's almost frustrating when you look hard to beat but are getting beaten here and there by the odd goal?
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating, to be honest. I mean, you look at the goal difference side of things, and I think that kind of tells the story. You know, we're miles ahead of Finn Harps and Drogheda in terms of where our goal difference stands. I think we're a good bit ahead of Sligo, and I think, in fairness to Pats, I think theirs is in and around ours as well, so it is. And that kind of tells its own story. You know, there's been very, very few games this year where we haven't turned up. Very, very few. I mean, even Dundalk the other night, I think it was only the second or third time that we've been beaten by two goals or more. But I mean, even that's Dundalk, you know, and we were trying to roll out a particular game plan. We were trying to roll out the same game plan that we did when we beat them in our own place, to be honest, which is allowing them to have the ball and, you know, relying on set pieces and counters and that kind of thing. So I wouldn't even say we were that poor on Monday night. We were just beaten by a team that were playing very, very well. I think away to Cork, away to Rovers, they're about the only two times all year where we've been, you know, comprehensively beaten and really, really disappointed with our performance. In every other game, we've pretty much either been as good as the opposition or better than the opposition, but yet we haven't managed to transfer those into 3 points on those occasions, Darren, and that's, you know, that's where we have to become more ruthless. We have to become more clinical, you know.
Yeah, Shane, you mentioned the Rovers game. I remember I was at it and I watched his play, and before that you were a really difficult team to play against. Stephen Bradley didn't like the idea of you guys coming there at all. I think before you got to Tala that night, what was it, 6 or 7 games unbeaten? Like, you were really, really causing problems to teams. Took points, of course, off Cork. What's changed over the last few weeks where results, all right, they weren't wins, but you were becoming increasingly tough to break down? What's happened in terms of the couple of losses back to back?
Yeah, I suppose a couple of things we were actually just chatting about there before we went out to train this morning. The Dundalk game that we played Monday night, obviously that's a really thick game. And strange enough, there, if you look at our fixture list at the start of the season, it was amazing in that pretty much for the entirety of the season, the way the fixtures landed for us, it was pretty much winnable one, really tough one, winnable one, really tough one, and so on almost for the season. Now, that Dundalk one being pulled forward meant that all of a sudden it tilted it in kind of in the favour of, we were going to have a run where we were going to have an awful lot of the big sides in the one go. So in our last 5 results have not been good enough, simple as that, all right? But if you look at them, we drew with Sligo, we had won what you'd call bad defeats. That was Bohemians, not good enough. It's one that we would have been expecting to take something out of. The other three were Shamrock Rovers, Derry, Bray, Dundalk. I mean, you know, they're not the games that are going to keep us up or not keep us up. They're not the games that are going to decide our fate. Now, the other side of that, Aaron, is that by the Dundalk game being pulled forward, it's now done. It's now out of the way. It means our next five. In our next five, we face three of the other teams in the bottom four with us. We're also at home to Limerick, which is one you'd fancy your chances of giving a crack to. And then, yeah, we have got a really, really tough one away to Cork. But, I mean, there's no doubt between now and the end of August, when you look at those five games, it really is an absolute make-or-break period for us.
And looking at Pats at the moment, they're probably in a similar situation where their performances might necessarily be fair on some of the results they've gotten, because they've played well at times without actually picking up a lot of results. They haven't won a game since the middle of May. They're really struggling. But at the same time, they went to Tala and took a point off Rovers and looked like they could have won that game. They've troubled teams as well. How do you assess, or how do you prepare to play a Pats team where it's very hard to know what kind of Pats team will turn up, because on their day they look like they can beat most teams, but then they just have these moments of spectacular brain farts where they'll give away really cheap, soft goals.
To be honest with you, just substitute the word St. Pat's for Galway United there. And I mean, it's ridiculous how similar the two of us, our seasons have been. Unbelievably similar, no doubt about it. We've, you know, your description of them there is exactly the description I'd put to ourselves. We've, you know, we make individual errors that cost us goals at times, and the killing thing about it is the fella who makes an individual error has probably been arguably the best player on the pitch in the rest of the game, aside from the one individual error he's made in that game that cost us a goal. You know, it's just brain farts, as you call it, is a good description. So, yeah, I mean, I was at Limerick and Pats on Friday night, and, you know, you have fellas saying to you the next day, I see Pats managed to nick a point. Couldn't have been further from the case. They were so far the better team in that game. It was ridiculous. They were absolutely excellent against Limerick, in fairness.
And somehow really found themselves going 2-0 down. This is the thing. They're such a strange team, and it must have Liam Buckley pulling out his hair, because he must be wondering what they have to do, because, I mean, they've such a... Like yourselves, when they gel, they look good. They look like they can be very, very hard to beat, and at times can take points off the best of them. But when you're trying to... It's just a lack of consistency, and I suppose it's something that has dogged you guys too.
Completely. That's just what I was coming on to. The lack of consistency is the big, big thing. You say you don't know what you're going to get from Pats. Well, unfortunately, that seems to be the case with ourselves as well. You're never quite sure what you're quite going to get out of it. I mean, like, you could go to Richmond on Friday night, and if we're on, and if they're on, you're going to come away from the game and you're going to think, how the hell are these two teams where they are at the moment? Because, you know, both of us are capable of putting it to absolutely anybody when we're on. But likewise, we could both have poor nights and everybody walks away saying, easy, see why those two are where they are. But, look, yeah, we can only really worry about our own side of it. And you know, if we deliver... We've got to go up there, I suppose, we've got to go up there and give a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 performance. And if they give a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 performance, then God knows what the way the game goes. If they're given a 7 out of 10 performance and we give a 9, then we'll go and get the 3 points. So we can only worry about what we deliver. We'll see how they perform.
And Shane, in terms of the overall planning, I mean, you've been in the First Division, you know the struggle and the slog involved in it. Without denigrating the First Division, it's probably fair to say no one wants to be involved in that league at all.
Oh, yeah, look, that's for sure. I suppose the only thing you'd say on the First Division going forward is the fact that it's going to be a 10-team league, and the fact that there will be some strong teams in it next year means you'd hope, regardless of whether Galway are, obviously I'm really hoping Galway aren't in the First Division next year, but regardless of whether they are or they aren't, you would hope that the standard of the First Division will improve next year all around. But yeah, look, it you know, had five consecutive years of retribution in the First Division, all crowds, small budget, trying to sell the concept of it to players that are maybe quite happy to play junior football and be able to have their few points. And what can you say to me that makes it, you know, makes it tempting to go and play at that level? It can be hard sell at times, that's for sure. And but look, again, we're all going to be saying the same, aren't we? That, you know, there's not one of the teams in that bottom five who'd like to be down there, that's for sure.
That is the Galway United manager Shane Keegan speaking to 98FM's Darren Cleary on our League of Ireland podcast this week. Darren, some other talking points from the weekend's action in the Premier Division before we preview Bray and Dundalk. Bowes, another great win, 2-0 over Sligo Rovers. Keith Ward with a free kick that even I would have saved, and Dinny Corcoran in the 81st minute, Dinny back in the goals as Bowes have picked up another big win, which moves them up the league table. They're now into sixth on 26 points, Darren, which is 9 points ahead of those relegation places. So some crucial wins for them.
Yeah, Jamie, particularly impressed with Bowes in recent weeks. You know, they've won three of their last four games, only one loss in their last five. They're climbing up the table and they put themselves out of danger. And it's really positive to see from Keith Long. They never really panicked and they've been able to blend things back. Also very nice to see Izzy Akinadi get a run out. He got a couple of minutes at the very end of the game.
Great to have him back. Yeah.
Really, really good to see his first appearance. And he did an interview as well with the Herald where he spoke about actually being told he may never play again. The doctor said you mightn't have the strength to continue with this game. Of course, he got a spleen removed, an issue there with the blood count. A doctor would be able to explain it much better than I would. But really, really positive to see him back. And Bowes picking up points at the moment. They're looking like a really, really strong side and they've seemed to climb out of danger completely.
Yeah, Shamrock Rovers, big 4-1 win over Drogheda United. You can hear from the Drogheda manager, Pete Mahon, and also the Shamrock Rovers head coach, Stephen Bradley, on 98FM.com. The next game's involving Galway and Bray, a 2-1 win for Bray, and Dundalk and Finn Harps, a 4-0 victory for Dundalk. We are going to discuss now on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast in the company of Aaron Green. But first, it's Dundalk midfielder Chris Shields. Chris Shields, welcome back to 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. How are you?
I'm grand, thanks, Jamie.
Now, Chris, if I was to look at Dundalk's results since the mid-season break, they would read very well. A 6-0 victory over Drogheda, a 4-0 win over Finn Harps, and a Monday night just gone, a 2-0 win over Galway. So it's fair to say the summer break and the little trip to Fowde Island in Cork seems to have worked so far. A very good period for you since the league has resumed.
Yeah, it was. It's good to be back to winning ways, you know. For us, the break was designed this year. I said, you know, switch off from what we find an abysmal first half of the season. So we've done that and took the week away from football, came back and went to Fowde for a few days. And it was a tough few days and at the same time it was enjoyable. And I think our performances have kind of showed that since the break. You know, it's 12 goals in three games and then three clean sheets as well, which is important for us.
Has there been anything you can put your finger on in terms of a change of attitude, a change of mentality, a change of performance? Or is it just that the way the game went against Drogheda with them going down to 10 and scoring so many goals, it just gave you a big boost heading into the matches against Harps and Galway? And in fairness, Chris, if we do look at the league table, Drogheda, Harps and Galway are three of the five teams at the minute facing that relegation battle. So they would be games you would be expected to win.
Yeah, no, I can't put a finger on any sort of change in mentality or anything like that. Our mentality always was to go out and win games. But like you say, the three teams we faced, I suppose it is, was a kindness of a draw of fixtures coming up after the break, which helped us. And we did put in good performances against them teams and put them to the sword to an extent. I know Galway was only 2-0, but I'd say we had a good 70% of possession throughout the game. And I think it shows well the abundance of goals and people coming into form maybe at the right time. You look at the likes of Patrick McElhenney at the minute, you know, he can do no wrong.
Yeah, he's been in fantastic form, scoring some really good goals and creating as well. And I'll ask you in a moment as well about Dave McMillan, who looks really, really bright. I remember early in the game last week, Brian Kerr on the TV said that Dave McMillan looked to be in form, and he proved to be, Chris. On Soccer Republic on Monday, we only saw the goals against in your 2-0 victory over Galway. For those who didn't see the match, I wasn't at it myself. Chris, what was the game like?
The game, it was pretty one-sided, not to be disrespectful to Galway or any of the likes, but they came in with a game plan, you know, just to kind of damage limitations in there. Looked like they came to try and set up banks of four and have us break them down. And after the first goal we went in, we always felt that we were in good control of the game, and it was just a matter of getting that second and easing the pressure off ourselves in case we had a silly slip up or conceded from a set piece. And that was pretty much the game. And I know you said there about Dave, you know, he's in a rich vein of form, which David goes through. You know, he hits purple patches and his goals return has been very good this season. But even though he didn't score on Monday, his link-up play and his all-round play was excellent.
Yeah, if you look at the attacking end of the pitch, lots of very exciting players. Jamie McGrath recently on the score sheet as well. We've spoken about Patrick, in fairness to Kieran Kilduff. He's also been scoring goals, Chris. So to combine all of those people in the attacking area of the pitch, I didn't mention Michael Duffy as well. And then at the other end, keeping three clean sheets in three games, both departments of the pitch as such seem to be working very well together as things currently stand.
Yeah, that's it. When the lads are on song, we've an incredible firepower. You know, you talk about Jamie there. He was a player I had admired at Pats. You know, he first caught my eye when he sent me and Paddy Barrett to the shop with a turn in 2015 in Richmond Park. So I was happy to see him sign this year. And I think it took him a little bit of time to settle in, but he really has found his feet and hit the ground running. You know, I think Patrick speaks for himself, the goals he's scoring and how he's performing at the minute. And then a lot of credit has to go to Kieran Kilduff. You know, it's not easy sitting back and watching the fella he drives up to training with, David, no scoring goals and getting the plaudits when Kieran's willing and able to do it himself. Like, he showed a tremendous attitude in training. And you can see he came off the bench, he got two against Strada, and he's scoring in the League Cup. And when he does get his chance, he is impressing. And then I suppose that was a bit of a trouble for us in the first half of the season, was keeping clean sheets. But I think that's 7 clean sheets in the past 8 games for us, and that's come from a few combinations of a back four. You know, it's not been the same every week. You look at Sean and Paddy came in for Brian and Nicholas there on Monday night, and there was no difference in how we played and how we defended. So I think that's a credit to every defender we have.
Yes, speaking of clean sheets, Chris, you were unable to keep one the last time you faced Bray Wanderers. You'll face this Friday at 7:45 in the Carlisle grounds. A 3-1 win for Bray in Oriel Park, which really confirmed their credentials as European contenders. They played quite well on the night. I know you guys weren't overly impressed with your own performance. What do you remember about that match?
You know, it's a game we want to rectify. You know, there was the 2 penalty incidents, you know, that we weren't really happy about, but that's just how it went, and you have to get on with it. So we want to rectify any bad results we've had in the first half of the season, and this Friday is a perfect chance to do that. But it does show Bray are sitting towards, you know, this is a big game for us on Friday. We'd like to put a bit of distance in ourselves and firmly grab hold of the second spot and leave maybe Bray, Derry and the likes of Shamrock Rovers to battle it out for a tour and keep on striving up, you know, keep on putting distance between us and them in the league table. But no, it's a credit to Harry Kenny and his players. You know, some people may have thought they just had a good start to the season and they'll dwindle off, but they've not, and they've got some impressive wins throughout the year.
Yeah, Chris, if we look at the league table, yourself sitting in second place, 7 points ahead of Bray. So a win on Friday night would increase that gap to 10, which, you know, would look like second place would be secured. But a defeat and it's 4 points, and then you've got Shamrock Rovers a point behind Bray. They're obviously in Europa League action, as are Derry City, who are a little bit further back. But it is going to be a race to the wire, in my opinion, for that third spot. So you'll want to make sure that you're not involved in a battle for Europe, that, you know, even though you're not going to win the league, that second is secured. And 3 points against Bray to increase that gap to 10 would go a long way towards doing that.
Yeah, that's it. Like I said, I want to put distance in between us. You know, the last thing we want to do is have a bad result Friday, and then you never know in the league, you have another bad result, and then you're becoming in a right dog fight for tour, which wouldn't be ideal for ourselves. You know, we want to secure European football for what would be the 5th season in a row, would it be? And then have a good European campaign and focus on the domestic cups as well.
Yeah, we're going to speak to your manager, Stephen Kenny, next week ahead of the Champions League qualifier, Chris. And I heard an interview with him last week where he spoke about the motivation of the players can't be as high to finish second as it would be to finish first. And you've won all of those league titles, the 3 league titles in a row in the first 3 seasons, Chris. Can you just maybe expand on Stephen's comments there? Because it is a different mindset, you know, when you're going into games, knowing if you win, you stay top, instead of going into games, knowing if you win, you might stay second and you're still so far behind.
Yeah, it is. It's a different situation for us to be in, you know, because we have become quite used to success and being involved in the league race right down to the final stages. Even Stephen's first year, when we were expected to do nothing, we went within 3 games to the end of the season being in the title race. So it is funny for us, but we do have to have that self-motivation, not just to dwindle away the season, you know, to have a strong second half of the season, push on and win as many games as we can, whilst putting in good performances and reminding people that we're not a bad side overnight. You know, any other year, Cork wouldn't have the phenomenal first half of the season that they've had, you know, and we might be in with a chance. So I see where Stephen, where he's coming saying that, so it's down to everyone in the change room, you know, to have that fight mentality. And, you know, and as I said, secure second, make that our own by a distance, hopefully, and then look towards Europe and the two cups.
How much, Chris, of a role has Europe had to play in the last couple of weeks since you've come back from the break and since you're a few days in Fota Island, in Cork, even though we spoke there about the motivation of the group in the league, but I would think the motivation of the group in Europe is higher even than it was last year, having had that European dream. We spoke to Sean Gannon last week and he just spoke that, you know, his dad still has all the games recorded on the Sky Plus box, and anytime he calls over for a coffee, his dad or his mum or his auntie is watching, you know, watching the highlights and how proud they are of him. And in a couple of weeks' time, Tuesday week, you're going to be playing in a big Champions League qualifier, and every player in that squad will want to be in the team for that match. And so far in these three league wins since the break, every player has put their hand up this evening and said, pick me.
Yeah, I think you've hit a nail on the head, really. You know, players do know after the break that Europe is just around the corner, so they want to impress, whether it be in training or whatever chance you get in these games. And that's what it is. Every player wants to be stood in Oriel Park with the Champions League music playing now in 2 weeks today. And I can honestly say everybody is putting their hand up for Stephen to take notice and want to be in the team. And that's really pushed the tempo up and the quality in training. I think there has been a bit of a difference since we came back from the break, and it's shown. Like Sean said, you know, what happened last year was phenomenal. And a lot of players, including myself, would never have thought it would happen in a League of Ireland career, you know. So you do want to replicate that, and a lot of us had some of the best nights in our careers, and you want to relive it. You don't want it just to be a one-time thing. So you have to try and go out and do it again.
Aaron Green, welcome back to 98FM's League of Ireland podcast again. How are you?
Very good, Jamie. Yourself?
Great, thanks, Greener. Not too bad. Now, we moved the interview a little bit later because you've been in the gym, sir, lifting some big heavy weights. Is that right?
Yeah, just doing a little recovery session because I was training yesterday. So I usually do it on Monday and Wednesday. So just to keep the body fresh going into the weekend.
Aaron Green, a top pro, huh?
That's it. Trying to be.
Now, we're looking ahead to a big top-of-the-table clash this coming Friday. It's Bray against Dundalk, the Carlisle ground at 7:45. Greener, it's fair to say, if you needed a test of your European credentials, this is it.
It is. It's a great one for us. Before the break, we didn't do ourselves justice. And since after the break, we've had two very difficult games. One at home to Derry and one away to Galway, which I think are a very good side also, even though they're struggling. And we got 6 points from the two games. So, and no better way to test ourselves against, for me, the best side over the last 3-4 years in the league. And it's going to be a very difficult game for us.
Yes, and Dave, come back off the break, Aaron, with three very good wins. I think it's 12 goals scored and none conceded. But you've already beaten them away 3-1, probably your best performance and win of the season. So you'll be aiming for something similar. But I'm sure Dundalk will have watched back that video and will want to avoid a repeat.
Yeah, we've had a few game plans against the top teams. Most of the time, a lot of the time it has worked. The one up in Oriel, it did. One in Cork, it didn't. But it's going to be a totally different game in the Carlisle. I think the first round of games, everyone's kind of edgy against each other. And then as the season goes on that little bit longer, Jamie, I think the games are a little bit more open. For us, it won't be that open because they have a lot of flair players. So, and they're in a rich vein of form at the minute. But we can't be too worried about Dundalk because we've been playing well at the minute as well. But of course, we will give them most respect, which they deserve over the last few years, which is undoubtedly, for me, the best team. So it will be a very difficult game for some Friday.
If we look at the league table, Aaron, Dundalk come into this match 7 points ahead of you, and a win would obviously make it 10. You guys win, it's 4 points. A draw, it remains at 7. And with, I think, the battle for third going to go right to the wire between yourselves, Rovers and Derry. Dundalk will want to secure second to make sure that they're not in a battle for Europe overall. So the importance of this match in terms of points probably can't be underestimated.
No, it can't be. For me, it is probably your biggest game of the season at the minute. It's a big, big test. As I said, both teams are playing well at the minute, and we're in and around there, and that's where we want to stay for the end of the season, Jamie. So as I said, it's going to be a tough game for us, but we went up there, we put in a good display of an aerial. We got a bit of luck at times, and that's what you need against the top teams in this country. And we took our chances on the game.
Aaron, since the break, two good wins. We mentioned earlier on a 3-2 over Derry, who are a direct European rival. That was an important 3 points. And the previous week as well, you've had another good win. So to put together some sort of a run since the break is important, because I think it was 5 league games without a win before that and a couple of quite average performances, conceding some poor goals. So to come back from the break with those wins heading into this match was a welcome boost for sure.
Definitely. I think before we... I think from the draw of the game, we drew against Rotterdam and then drew against Sligo, and then we got beaten by Bowles, Rovers and Limerick, I think. I'm not too sure what order, but there was a stage when we weren't looking forward to the break because we were going so well, and then we kind of stumbled towards the break, if you know what I mean. So, and we came back and we had a really difficult game against Derry, who for me are a brilliant ball, and so it's probably one of the best in the country at the minute, play great football. But the one then to go down to Galway, would it, even though we beat Derry, if we went down there and got beaten, then the Derry's performance and the Derry win would have literally meant nothing. So to go down there and back that up, and I'm not just saying this, I really think Galway are a good side. They're just not getting the rub of the green at the moment, playing some really good football. And to go down there and get the win, we played very well first half, again second half, which teams have got to do. And we got the win, and hopefully we can take that into to Friday night's game against Dundalk.
Yes, Aaron, one player who has been a very important man for yourselves this season is one of the other speedsters, not yourself, but Dylan Connolly. The front page of the Sun goals pullout on Wednesday says that a transfer to Dundalk has been agreed. The headline reads, Seagull flies Dundalk in for Dylan. Dylan Connolly will become the most expensive League of Ireland player in the last decade when he joins Dundalk next month. The Lily Whites and Bray Wanderers are in advanced talks of negotiations with a transfer fee in the region of €40,000, close to being agreed. Greener, what's your thoughts on those reports of Dylan moving on?
To be honest, I think the start of the year they were really interested in Dylan, and the club done everything within their power to keep hold of him. And if it is true, he moves on. For us, if Dylan goes, I could only wish him all the best. You know what I mean? He's going to a club that are in Europe and have been, for me, the best club, been the best team, everything what Stephen Kenny's done there. But we'll be losing a good player, but I wish Dylan all the best. If he doesn't, we keep hold of a player and we move on. But for us, we just got to worry about ourselves. We can't do anything about that. That's between two clubs, the managers and the player, of course. So Dylan, for me, he's played well. I think Dylan can improve a lot more, and I say this to him because I speak to him regularly. He's played left wing this year and I've played right wing, but if he does go, I can only wish him all the best, because he's a bright young talent, but he needs to continue to work harder and develop.
And Aaron, if he was to leave, what sort of a loss would he be to Bray, because he's been very, very good. He's, in my opinion, the quickest player in the league. I'm sure you're not too far behind him, or you could tell me you're quicker, but he would be a big loss if he does go.
No, that's one thing. He is. He's very quick, but I would say, you know, if he worked on his technical side a little bit, could you imagine how better he could become? And I'm not being, I try to help Dylan every day, like all the young players in training, because that's what I got when I was at Bohemians with the likes of Jason McGuinness, Paul Keegan, Owen Healy. I'm not being bad. That's how I speak to Dylan on the day to day, to try to get the best out of Dylan. It will be a loss. It's incredible pace. Sometimes Dylan doesn't use his pace to his advantage. He kind of comes a little bit, he comes too close to the ball when he should stretch the pitch, but he is a talent, and as I said, if he goes there and works hard and shows the hunger and desire, that I think he could even give a little bit more. Who knows what he could do? And as I said, if he does go, I could only wish him all the best of being up for the last 4 or 5 months, and he's a good lad, so I could only wish him all the best.
Aaron, just on the league overall, if a transfer like this was to happen, €40,000 would be a massive fee. I think the biggest fee over the last 10 years or so. And I'm looking at your own history, Bray, Limerick, Pats, Sligo, Shamrock Rovers and Bowes. I don't think you've ever moved for a transfer fee. So it would be a big step for the league, and there is money back in the league now for some clubs, certainly with the European stuff, Dundalk being one of them, that if they were to pay money for someone like Dylan, it's a little bit uncommon in the current League of Ireland standings.
Yeah, I think when I first started actually playing the league, Jamie, that's when the players, that's a good 10, 11 years ago now, that players are actually going for sums of money. I believe Drogheda were buying players, Bohemians were doing it at the time, and Shells, of course. But no, it's good for the league. And of course, with that, you need all of our clubs are in Europe to be doing well within Europe, and that gives you that firepower to actually go and sign players likes of Dylan and whoever. I'm sure Cork are going to be interested in a few players because the likes of Sean and maybe Kevin O'Connor going, and you know what I mean. So no, it is. It's good within the league. We're quite easy to shoot down the league, and I think over the last years, and I think Dundalk, to be honest, have ones who put it back on the map, and Cork as well at the minute with how strong they've been doing. But for the last number of years, I really feel Dundalk have done a real good justice in not only in the league and the European stage, and of course qualifying for Europa League. But there is a great crop of players here, Jamie, and I'm not just saying that. I've been playing around the league for 10-11 years now, and I've been at a lot of clubs, and there's a lot of young talents at clubs. I was with Sean McGuire when he was at Sligo, and he couldn't get a game, and confidence is really low, and it just shows you what a manager and playing games can do for young players. It was another one, Jamie McGrath at Dundalk, it was at Pat as well, was in and out, and there's players at every that are good, bright young talents, and if people came out and actually watched them and let them see what they're made of, these kids can aspire to, rather than sticking on Sky Sports, Jamie, you know what I mean, and thinking that it's all there, because there is good young talent in this country.
Yes, indeed there is, and I'm sure the European adventure for Dundalk upcoming would be something that would interest Dylan Connolly if he does move. Aaron, let's move back to Bray finally and yourself. You mentioned that you played some games on the wing, you've also played some games up front this season, and the pace of yourself and Dylan with Gary McKay playing in that number 10 role, and Ryan Brennan on the right has maybe been the most common front four, but Bistow Flood's been back in, scored recently as well, and you've been back on the wing. Do you have a preference yourself, and I suppose when you are playing wide, if you're going to get some crosses into the box, there's probably no taller centre-forward or centre-forward better in the air than Big Bistow.
Yeah, no, you see him with his goal last week with Gary putting the ball in there. For me, when you've got Bistow there, you just got to get it out of your feet and put it in an area for him. And I couldn't be more happy for Anto, because he started the season really well, and then Harry mixed it around, and then he played a few games up front, had a few good performances, and he's been in and out of the team, more so out. And he's came back, and to be honest, he's trained very, very hard. He's got his chance over the last few weeks, and he's been brilliant. For me, it was unbelievable against Derry. He didn't get on the goal, but for me, you don't have to be scoring. He affected the game, brilliant for us, and he got his rewards on last Friday night against Galway. And he's a nightmare to train against. His arms, legs, everywhere thrown against you, a big awkward man, and he's been really good for us over the last number of weeks. So hopefully we can continue to get the best out of Bistow. I think when he's up there and he's on form, he's a nightmare to play against. And he's got myself, Gary, Ryan, Dylan running off him. It's good for us. So he's doing really well, and I couldn't be more happy for him.
Aaron Green, as always, thanks a million. The best of luck on Friday.
Thanks a million, Jamie. Appreciate it.
Just on, you know, Dylan Connolly, front page of the Golds pull out in this week's Irish Sun. They say, "The seagull flies, Dundalk in for Dylan." This is not a new story. This is something that that's been happening for a while. They're saying Dylan Connolly set for a €40,000 move to Dundalk, which is very interesting, Jamie, because I'm going to play a little bit of archive audio now coming back from very, very before the actual start of the season, where we spoke to Dylan and we asked him why he decided to commit a 2-year deal with Bray when Dundalk were in from. Have a listen to what he said then. You put pen to paper with Bray this morning. Why have you decided to stay put?
Why not? I just loved my time. Last year, I loved my time down there. I was playing the best football in my life. I get on with the manager. I get on with the players. They brought in 3 or 4 good, very good players. So it looks exciting. So I'm excited.
Did you ever come close to leaving Bray in the off-season?
No, never.
You had a chat with Dundalk, did you?
They contacted Bray, but it was nothing like that. Interesting. So I was talking to Bray the whole time. I wanted to stay at Bray the whole time, so I was just a few little things. I went on holiday and stuff, and I came back and just got things off the line with Hardy and the board, so everything's good.
Our sources here on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast believe the two clubs have agreed a fee and the player should be signed in the coming days. A big loss for Bray, but a big addition to Dundalk's camp ahead, of course, of the European Games. And we understand if it's done early next week, Darren, it will mean he will be available for their Champions League qualifier against Rosenborg. And I'm sure the Rosenborg fullbacks wouldn't be too impressed with trying to chase Dylan Connolly up the line if and when that move happens. So we wish Dylan the best of luck. And if the move does happen, we will speak to Dylan on next week's League of Ireland podcast. And that concludes our Premier Division roundup from the weekend. We're going to go through the fixtures in a few minutes' time. But the first division is a big weekend at Shells against Waterford Tolka Park on Friday night. It's a 7:45 kickoff. Shells coming off the back of two great wins since the break, and Waterford suffered their second league defeat of the season in the UCD Bowl last Friday, beaten 3-2 by UCD. And we're joined now on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast by the Shelburne manager, Owen Heary. Owen, welcome back again. How are you?
Not too bad, Jamie. Thanks very much for having me.
Owen, your team is now picking up wins. Bounced back from the break. Two wins from two over UCD. A great win, and then a 1-0 victory in Cove, where not too many teams win last Saturday. So much needed, as the form probably wasn't great in the first part of the season anyway.
Yeah, I suppose we played games where we haven't got the results or performances deserved. And just before the break, we played Longford, and we went down to 9 men and managed to keep a clean sheet. And so we gave the lads a little bit of confidence. You know, we went into the UCD game after the break, got a good win over there, especially, you know, UCD, you see them last week, on 3-0 up against a good Waterford side. And then, you know, we took that confidence down to Cove, who haven't been beaten down there all season, and we went down there with that confidence. And again, you know, we came away with a 1-0 win, a clean sheet, which was quite pleasing. But we had a couple more chances to maybe wrap up the game at 2-3-0.
And Owen, I'd say it's probably a fair comment that those two wins have given everybody, yourself, the staff, the players and the fans, a good boost heading into the second part of the season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you go back to when we played UCD at home and Cove at home, and we should have got something from them, those games, especially against UCD, and come away with nothing, you know. And the performance, should I say, was probably the best I've seen all season, and you come away with nothing after UCD scoring the late goal. So to bounce back now with back-to-back victories against them, you know, was much needed. And, you know, as you say, players are coming in, different sort of players coming into training now because their confidence is high. But, you know, we've another big challenge this Friday against Waterford, who are top of the table.
Oh, and up until the break, it was just 4 wins in 15 matches, 7 defeats, 4 draws, and a couple of heavy losses in that period. How would you reflect on the first half of the season overall? As you mentioned, there were lots of games that were quite tight where you felt had a little bit of luck on your way. You might have picked up wins and you'd be higher up the table as a result.
Yeah, there's, you know, I put my finger, you know, look back on all the performances, and we put our finger on 3 games where we didn't perform. And that was UCD away, Wexford away and Cavintilly at home. The rest of them, we put in some very good performances. As I said, the UCD at home and the Cove at home, we should have come away with 6 points from them. You know, but, you know, we don't have the biggest squad. We don't have the money to go out and invest and get the players in and most clubs. So we have 5 lads off the under-19s, and they're learning as we go along. And you're seeing James English now got a bit of confidence, and he's scoring a couple of goals. We've also got Chris Lyons back from injury. We've Dylan Kavanagh coming back from injury as well. So, you know, that helps the squad because there are a couple of experienced players that are able to help the younger players. And, you know, develop Mikey Murphy as well, another lad who came back from injury, and he's played the last 2 games and he's been excellent. And, you know, he's only finished his leave in there last week and he's put in 2 good performances.
Let's talk about your key striker, James English. Owen has scored in the last 2 games since the break, the first goal in the 2-1 win over UCD. Alan Byrne got a late winner, I think, at the 86th minute, and then he got the only goal in Cove last week. So if you can get him in the box and scoring goals, he's one of the best in that division. Fox-in-the-box type striker. If the ball drops to him, he'll score, yeah, but he's also very quick.
Yeah, he's very good. He's quick, as you say, but he works extremely hard. You know, he's a good centre forward in that the fact that he doesn't give up on lost causes. He chases everything, carries defenders, he walks, and he just wasn't getting the luck in front of goal. You know, he's had a lot of chances where they've either hit the keeper or just hit the post or just gone wide for him. So I'm delighted for him now that he's managed to pick up. We brought in Stephen Gagan for 1 or 2 sessions to work with him, and it seems to give him that little bit of confidence. And, you know, there's no better striker around than Stephen Gagan back in his time. So it sort of helps him, and, you know, gives him a bit more experience of where to run and how to run and what runs to make. So hopefully it seems to be paying off a little bit. So hopefully he'll keep doing that towards the end of the season. But as I said, we have Chris Lyons back now as well, so he'll be able to give him a dig out as well up front.
What a League of Ireland throwback that is. Stephen Gagan, oh, when I was a kid, my dad used to bring me to Tolka every Friday, every second Friday to watch Shells. That's when I first became a League of Ireland fan. And what a striker he was. And now he's back lending a hand to the Reds again.
Yeah, you know, Steve has come down to 1 or 2 games and he's had a look, and he's seen, obviously, you know, we spoke to him about James and the other striker. So he came in and he'd done 1 or 2 sessions with them where, you know, Steve used to say, if you handcuff yourself to the front post, you get 10, 12 goals a season. So, I mean, if you can't learn that now, Stephen Gagan, then there's no hope for you. So, as I said, he's come in, he's done a couple of sessions with him, and it seems to pay off a little bit. So hopefully his form can continue now to the end of the season and get a few more goals.
Hopefully so, Owen. And that form, you will hope, will continue this coming Friday against Waterford, top of the table. But they did suffer their first league defeat last Friday, 3-2 against UCD. They were 3-0 down, and you're looking at the scoreboard thinking, what's going on? They got it back to 3-2 and couldn't hang on. I'm not sure if you were at that game, because I know your own team played in Cove on Saturday. So if you were there, or if you had someone watching, what did they make of that match?
No, I was over watching it. I thought UCD were very good. You know, they were excellent. First half, started the second half the same. Went 3-0 up, as you said, and then when they took off George Kelly and made a couple of changes, all of a sudden McDay came alive and scores a goal and then gets another goal out of nothing. So, you know, we know Waterford are a threat. We know that they're quality players, especially that front man, Russell and McDay, two centre-halves, Brown and McLean. So we know they've quality all over the park. So for us, we'd expect that Waterford would be looking to bounce back. We expect them to come up and it'd be a tough game. But as I say, we're on a little bit of a run. Hopefully we can continue that by beating them this Friday, you know. And the other side of it is, if you do win, it gives Cove and UCD a chance to catch them as well.
Yeah, you've played Waterford twice this season, Owen, already. A 2-2 draw at home and a 1-0 loss away. So, bar a couple of their matches this season, the 6-1 against Athlone, they've not really ran away with too many games, and they certainly haven't against yourselves.
No, and the one in Tolka, we had a great chance at the end to win it as well. But I think Jamesy just pulled away to the post down there. It was an even enough game, and Sullivan again, threat off a set piece. But you know these quality players, and that's the one thing. As you said, they're not running away with the league like they have, like Limerick did last year. But they have good, experienced Premier Division players that know how to win games. So for us, we have to make sure that we're focused, fully tuned into it. I think they've only lost two games this year. So it shows the task we have ahead. But it's something I think the players are looking forward to be honest with you, Jamie.
Yeah, they lost their opening match of the season and then they went on such a really good run as well. On the league title race you mentioned there about giving Cove and UCD a chance, that win for UCD last week made the gap 4 points. Cove were a point behind, 5 points. At Waterford won, they were 10 ahead, and you were looking at it thinking, God, it might be, you know, season over. But for those two clubs, it's not. It keeps things alive, and you're only 13 points behind yourselves with 11 games left after this weekend. So if you can pick up a win, who knows what might happen.
But look, as I said, there's no pressure on their lads now, because they're playing against a team that everyone expects to win the league. There is no playoff spot, which is unfortunate for us, because it's something that you could aim for. But I think for us, our aim now is to try to catch Cove ahead of us. You know, they're not too far ahead, but you know, if we can keep winning and see where it takes us. But our first priority is to try to catch the team ahead of us, which is Cove, and that's what we're going to aim to do over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the league table currently, Waterford top on 35, UCD on 31, Cove on 30 and Shells on 22. And Owen, unfortunately, that was one of the problems we spoke about on the opening podcast of the season, about if your own club or any of the clubs were a little bit behind the front, that the season would almost become pointless. And, you know, a win, as I said, would get you a little bit closer to Waterford and closer to the teams above you. But you'll want to make sure that it doesn't just kind of peter out.
Yeah, you don't want to fizzle out. We have the FAI Cup to look forward to. We also have the Leinster Senior Cup that we're in. As I say, we want to keep challenging, you know, as I say, catch the team ahead of us is the first priority. If we can do that and see where we finish, and hopefully finish a lot higher than we did last season. But, you know, the one thing about us is we haven't invested a lot of money into the club this year, so we're developing players coming through, and if we can keep the majority of them for next season and add in a couple more within, you know, the playoffs being back, we'll have a good chance of hopefully hitting them. And that has to be the goal. If we can't get up this year, it has to be the goal for next year, is to try and improve and get into that playoff spot, or hopefully win it next season. But for now, you know, we're concentrating on catching Cove with the Leinster Cup semi-final, either pass or fair household. We have something to look forward to anyway, regardless of what happens.
Owen, on the Shells project overall, since you've come in, where do you think it's at? We know we unfortunately towards the end of last season had the issues with the fans, and it's still up in the air a little bit on the ground chair as to when Bowes might move to Tolka and when the move might happen back. Is there any more update on what's happening, and you as a manager of the football club, just where things are at?
No, I haven't heard any more on it, to be honest with you, Jamie. You know, you hear so much that you get sick and tired of listening to it, you know, and you want things to happen and you want it to start soon. But I haven't heard when Bowes are coming in, or if they're coming in, or when the stadium's being built. Hopefully there'll be something done in the next year or two, and it's front of the concrete that's the start of it, and it's all done and dusted and moving on. In terms of the club, you know, we're looking to get promoted, and if we want to do what sort of Finn Harps done, where to get promoted and they're staying up in the Premier Division for the last couple of years, even though people have tipped them to be relegated for the last couple of seasons. So it just shows that if you get a strong, stable side, should I say, and you're able to maintain Premier Division status, then things will happen for you.
So for those, the goal, as I said, is to try to get up, try to get a squad, you know, a good strong squad of players, that some now that we have, and hopefully bring in a few more next year, bring through the younger players as well in the 19s, and hopefully have a go at them coming next season.
Oh, and just finally, I'm right in saying you would have played with Neil Fenn?
Yeah, I played with Neil Fenn at Bowles, yeah.
So the news this week that Neil has been appointed as the new Longford Town manager, a little bit of a left field appointment, certainly. We heard the usual suspects out of work had applied for the job. They interviewed, I think, 13 people, and Neil was announced on Tuesday as the new manager. So he'll be a rival of yours now on the bench for the rest of the season. What's your thoughts on his new gig?
Yeah, you're right in saying it was a left field appointment, but I think a good appointment. I didn't know Neil was looking for a job, to be honest, with the in the management side of it, but you know, I think it'd be a good appointment for them. You know, he has a decent squad down there that I think he should be doing a lot better than what they are. And I'm hoping that I know that he'll win and he'll prove himself and, you know, get the team higher up the table, because, as I said, we have a good squad of players, probably haven't been performing as well as he should have been, you know, and I think it'd be a challenge for them, but one that he'd be able to step up to.
Yeah, reports this week that he could be trying to tempt Darragh Doyle away from Cabinteely, and Stephen Maher as well. They all work together on the Path to Pro project, so that could be one. And Owen, I'm not sure if you're still playing five-a-side, but I manage the IT Blanchardstown soccer teams, and also we have a futsal team, and Neil Fenn plays futsal, and we played them recently in an All-Ireland semi-final, and Neil Fenn scored about 11 goals. They beat us about 27-10. Big fat arse on him, gets it out, gets the ball in, and scored so many goals. He was like a fox in the box, like the old days down in Dalymount.
That's Neil. He won't run any further than 5 yards, you know, so he'll always stay there, but the ball always sticks to his foot.
Owen, here he is always. Thanks a million. The best of luck in the game on Friday, and we'll chat to you soon.
Cheers, Jamie. Thanks very much.
Yeah, interesting week last weekend in the First Division. We just spoke about Shelburne's 1-0 win over Cove and that 3-2 victory for UCD against Waterford. Jay McClellan twice put UCD 2-0 up before the captain for the night, Greg Sloggett, scored to make it 3-0. Gary O'Neill missing for that game. One of his grandparents unfortunately passed away in Kerry. I know Gary was on our podcast last week, but had to be in Kerry with his family. Expected to be back for this weekend's game. Dean Walsh got one back for Waterford on 75. Then Dave McDade in 81. But the students managed to hold on for a big 3-2 victory. Wexford won a match, surprisingly enough. A 1-0 victory away to Cabinteely. Owen Porter, who's only 18 years of age, scored the winning goal in the 39th minute. Red cards for both teams in the 90th minute. Richard Fox for Wexford and Christian Latifa for Cabinteely. We understand there was an incident involving those two players. Latifa's second red card in just a couple of games. And El Clasico, El Midlands Clasico, finished at Athlone 2, Longford Town 2. Conor Barry and Ethan Keogh for Athlone. Jake Kelly and Enda Curran for Longford Town. The First Division fixtures for this weekend. In that First Division, it's Chelsea Waterford Talga Park 7:45 on Friday, while at 8 o'clock at Ferry Carrick Park, it's Wexford v UCD. Two games on Saturday, 7:15, Steve Cove sees Cove Ramblers host Athlone Town, and at 7:30, it's Longford Town against Cabinteely in City Calling Stadium, a first competitive match in charge for Neil Fenn. And Darren, you're going to bring us through the Premier Division games, not as many as there normally is because of the Europa League, but you may as well give us the Europa League first on Thursday, followed by the Premier Division games on Friday.
Yeah, of course, Jamie, the Europa League kind of messes things about. So in terms of the actual League of Ireland action we're to look forward to this week, we've got Bray Dundalk, as we previewed extensively, from 7:45. That's on Friday. Drogheda Limerick, also 7:45 start time for that one. That's also the kickoff time at Richmond Park for St. Pat's against Galway. Moving then on to a game on Sunday, what's rare is wonderful. We've got Sligo Rovers playing host at the Showgrounds to Shamrock Rovers in a match that kicks off on July 2nd at 6 o'clock. Then moving forward to the 5th of July, the post-Independence Day madness, we got Bowes Dundalk 7:45 in the Premier Division. On top of course, Jamie, the European games, which we've previewed extensively here on the podcast this week. And a mention as well of Ayr, who will be showing Cork City's game, the first leg of their Europa League clash. They've secured the rights late on and will be able to bring that to League of Ireland fans and Cork fans who can't make the trip to Tallinn.
Yes, our tweets of the week, my favourite part of 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. It's fair to say Joseph Ndoh had a mixed reaction and reception from Soccer Republic on Monday night, Darren, mainly due to his gleaming white runners and also for the fact that he said that Keith Ward is the best player in the League of Ireland. Wardy, great player, but I think with the likes of Patrick McElhenney doing so well and Sean Maguire doing so well, it was a strange comments from Joey, and he's had some interesting reaction on Twitter all week.
Well, I'm a big fan of Joey Ndoh because he can do no wrong on the pitch. So I wish he hadn't have gone on TV and said some stuff that mightn't necessarily made a lot of sense to a lot of people. But it doesn't change it for me. Joey is still a genius. I've watched him do some mesmerising things with the ball at his feet. And one of the best players I think that's ever graced the league himself. So if he says it, he deserves to be taken seriously.
I love the League of Ireland clubs on Twitter. All fantastic. A lot of them are volunteers, do it for free, and you know, try and do the Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Snapchat is now very big, of course, as well. And Longford Town, this is very good. Longford Town this week tweeted to say, Longford Town will play at Lone Town in another El Clasico in August in the FAI Cup. Kickoff at the City Calling Stadium is at 7:30. They then replied to their own tweet saying, the FAI sent the email today, and with all other FAI Cup fixtures along with ours, we're not sure when the draw will take place. Third tweet. The email had the wrong caption on the fixture list. The 19th is a league game, not a cup game. The FAI Cup draw has not been made just yet.
It is absolutely brilliant that they're having this little Barney on the internet.
So basically, Longford Town announced the FAI Cup draw before the FA Cup draw had in fact been made, which I think is absolutely brilliant. But again, in fairness to them, they didn't delete the tweets. They just correct themselves, which was good. And one more from me. Full-time, Derry City 1, Cork City 2. A massive win for the 10-man City. A Cork City tweet announcing a win that's likened to the team Manchester City, because they said 10-man City with man with a capital M and City with a capital City. So it's as if...
confused everyone.
Man City. But if Man City could have a few goals like Sean Maguire and be top of the table like Cork next season, they'd be quite delighted with that.
Jamie, you know Richie Sadler always gets a little bit of stick. He's been on the Lad Bible and the Sports Bible and places like that for the caption RD put under his name. I think it was scored in a fifth place playoff at the under-17s European Championships. You know that one on his name? Someone has dug this out from the vault. It's Damien Richardson appearing on the old Soccer Republic, M&S, and it says Damien Richardson. And underneath his name, where it usually say, you know, former manager of Shelburne and whoever, it says Damien Richardson. Once played the Baron on an album by Tudra, a folk music group from Kent.
That can't be actually true.
Well, he
lives in London.
Well, maybe he did play the Baron on Tudra's album. So there you go. Not only is that a greatest league in the world tweet, but it's also a little bit of information that Damien Richardson that you probably didn't know about.
Well, 98FM's League of Ireland podcast, our station is Dublin's best music mix. So if Damien Richardson is listening and fancies an owl... totally Irish on a Sunday night between 9 and 11 with 98FM's John Barker, plays the best Irish music.
Tudra or Tundra, they sound like the kind of the band that John Barker would have.
They do, yeah. And they're all brilliant.
On the show this week, we've live music from Tudra. Damien Richardson plays the Baron.
And Darren Cleary never does a totally Irish voiceover promo again. Darren, thank you.
Thank you, Jamie.
That is it for another week on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. Thank you to 98FM's Darren Cleary, as you just heard, as well as all of our guests, and the best of luck to Dave Webster, Stephen Bradley, Greg Bulger and Aaron McAniff in Europe, as well as Pat Craig and Shane Keegan, Aaron Green and Chris Shields, and the Shelburne manager, Owen Heary. We are back on 98FM.com next Wednesday, and every Wednesday you'll find us for the 98FM Sport iTunes channel, our very cool app, and also in the podcast section of 98FM.com. And we will chat to you next week. If you can, as I say every week, get to a game. It's the hashtag greatest league in the world. A couple of great games in Dublin this week in the Premier Division and the First Division. So do your best to get off the bar stool and go and get to a game. Have a great week, folks. I'll chat to you later. Bye-bye.
For up-to-the-minute League of Ireland coverage, see 98fm.com/sport. 98FM's League of Ireland podcast is back next Wednesday. And every Wednesday on 98fm.com, the 98FM app, and on the 98FM Sport iTunes channel. 98FM.